Hi, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben, how are you?
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, how are you? Happy BravoCon Eve.
Why, thank you. Happy night to you. It's so lovely to see you here on your show.
Happy Ben at home Eve.
Yes, happy, you know, partying in LA Eve.
Happy Ben hanging out at home Eve.
Ben, you should come. I'm telling you, there's still a chance.
I'm not coming.
There's still a chance.
I'm not coming.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm not coming.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's no chance.
Okay, so
I'm 100% not
by the time this comes out, I'm making an ass out of myself somewhere in Las Vegas. We're recording this a little bit before I go, so this won't come out till Friday, but hi, everybody. Let's hope I'm still living, okay? And if I'm dead, this is going to be a really awkward intro.
And you know what? For people who are really confused, everything's going to be kind of like, well, actually, no, I don't know if I even have to give this disclaimer. I was going to say, well, this is coming out before Beverly Hills, but actually this is going to come out before Beverly Hills this week. So because of the travel and everything being a little topsy-turvy, we're releasing this episode first because we have a screener for this episode. So we're able to record this ahead of time. We did not have a screener for Beverly Hills. So unfortunately, that's going to be later, but I'm going to be recording that with the wonderful and hilarious Raisani, who... she's been on the show many times, and she is the best. So sorry you won't be there for that, Ronnie. But we have a wonderful, wonderful fill-in for you. So excited!
Right on.
So thanks for everyone for being patient. Yeah, thank you, Ray, and thanks for everyone being patient waiting for that Beverly Hills recap.
Yes, and thank you for your patience as well. You know, we love doing this. We love having you guys here, and the schedule's crazy. Bravo is crazy. They're overloading everybody with everything at all times. The audience, us, everybody, the casts of all the shows.
And it stars. It stars. Okay, it's a reality reckoning. Tell Vanity Fair that one time I went to a restaurant on Real Housewives of New York and they made me wait for 5 minutes before I got to my table. It's abuse.
Speaking of, if you want to hear our reality reckoning recap, basically we talk about the Vanity Fair article that came out that exposes Bravo for all of their misdeeds. Well, a couple of them. And that's over on the feed now.
And
that's our crappy hour live from this week. So go check that out. Also, the schedule's so crazy. We've got Miami that started up. That's a super fun two-parter. New York ended, but then Potomac is coming back. All this stuff is happening. Tons of shows. So we are not covering, for the moment, Below Deck Mediterranean, Winter House, and something else.
And Married to Medicine.
Right.
Sorry. We need to keep our sanity. So right now we're doing Real Housewives and Southern Charm. That is the plan for right now. It could all change, but right now that is the plan. If you want to complain, feel free to complain. I'm just going to say right now, I just may not read your complaints. I'm just telling you right now.
Oh, we complain enough for all of us. So there's Real Housewives of Potomac, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Miami, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Southern Charm, and Dwell Hello next week, and then Crappy Hour, the live show. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our bonus episodes where we will touch on some of these shows we're not doing full recaps on, amongst other things. So there's plenty of stuff. Thanks for being here. If you want this on video, come watch us on video on Patreon, okay? That's where our bonus episodes are. Our bonus episode this week was super fun. We played this game where we rank stuff. We've done it a few times, and this time we ranked disease,
phobias. It was a really important comprehensive episode where we ranked phobias from most reasonable phobia to least reasonable phobia. We sort of did a top level survey of various phobias that we could find on the fly. And I think the results will be very fascinating for people. I loved our list.
I loved the list as well. And I would like to say that name for the phobia of watching Austin eat, that would have been the most reasonable phobia, hands down. Because fucking sight. And you know what? I would love to meet Wendy one day just so I can say, you know what, Wendy, you seem so cool on this show. I really love you. You're one of my favorite moms on Bravo. How did you not teach Austin to eat? What the hell? Teach your children to close their mouth. He doesn't even just eat with his mouth open. He literally pushes his tongue against his teeth with food. Like,
We've said for years that Austin is like Fozzie Bear, and he literally eats like a Muppet too, where basically the mouth opens and closes and crumbs fall out, and we're supposed to believe that something was digested.
Fozzie Bear's more polite because Fozzie Bear doesn't have a tongue fucking pushing up against the food, and then his teeth, and then the air, like, meh. Do you hear that sound? It's disgusting. It's a disgusting sound. Imagine that with noodles, with some shells, some noodle shells.
I do, because there's a scene in this episode where, like, Shep is squeezing Velveeta onto some shells. And honestly, you could not tell me if it was Velveeta squeezing out of a pouch or just Austin chewing on a cracker. Both sounded the same. Just saliva. Saliva lip smacking.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Previously on Southern Charm, as Livia juggled both new bows and old bows.
Yeah, she's got some sign.
I'm loving Madison's narrations at the beginning of this.
Previously on Southern Charm, Betas tried to bang Olivia, Taylor was a slut, and JT was short. Bunch of fucking moron Betas. Bunch of moron Betas were sick, going to some sort of house that was supposed to be an event space, but it just looked like a slut then. Thankfully, we added a short simp to this cast, just to go along with all the Betas. Crying to his mommy in some event space nobody's ever going to rent out because it's crusty and smells. Go find it. Go rent it on Air Beta and Beta.
Verbeta.
Verbeta.
And be sure to get your dinner Verbeta. From Beta Dash. Bring it right over.
Hold on, I got to go. My Ubeta is here.
So, poor thing can't find a girlfriend. He just masturbates all the time. Basically says thank you until he climaxes into his palm, sadly, and then cries to his mama.
Beta. His mama's a beta, too.
And finally, Taylor tried to explain her slutty ways, but we weren't buying what she was selling. Just like nobody's going to buy fucking Day Chaser. Is she still trying to make that happen? Good grief, girl. I'm married.
Just like how people stopped buying Betas when VCR came around. We're not buying Day Chaser. As I like to call it, Beta Chaser.
Every time you walk into a PetSmart, you'll see a wall of JTs and Austins. Just Betas. Just sitting there in a cup.
Betas in a cup. Cup of Betas.
Okay.
So, Patricia, we see things happening in Charleston. So, Patricia has like some sort of antique armoire or cabinet. Not a cabinet, but it's like some sort of, it's just an antique piece of furniture, and she's futzing over it. She's like, wow, these are supposed to be alternating. This one's supposed to come up, and that one's supposed to go back, and this one's supposed to come up, and that one's supposed to go back there. Randy is locked in. See ya, sucker.
The only way Randy will ever get out of the basement is if someone figures out how to move these figurines back into their proper order.
It's Patricia's version of Saw. She traps someone into a delicate antique. And it's not that they can't break out of it. It's just they know, like, I can't break out of it because this is worth $100,000.
They're just too terrified.
Delicate wood. Delicate crumbling wood. They just are afraid of Patricia.
So, Craig is growing some stuff indoors. I don't know what this is, but he's got all these like indoor plant lights and stuff. Like, it's not weed. What do you think it is? What is it? Come on, you're green.
Rutabagas.
Maybe it was like, just waiting for that one to hit you. He probably is growing cucumbers or something. It's just something Paige told me to grow something, so I grow it. I don't know. He's growing something that's gonna be dead soon. That's good. You know what it is? Craig sees leaves. I see a billboard that says, coming soon, Aphid City. You know, like that's just going to be a pest city right there.
Are those little flies?
No, that's the fruit flies. The aphids are terrible. Aphids are the betas. Aphids are truly the betas of insects. They're these little things and they crawl up. And they basically like crawl up out of the dirt, and they're on all the stems, and they just like suck the living daylights out of these plants, and they actually leave like the sticky dew, and they're just like stupid and annoying. And here's how you know that they're betas. Because their primary predator is a ladybug.
You got eaten by a ladybug? You're a beta.
I think I know what those are. They are like little flies, aren't they? Don't they fly?
Well, they can sprout wings. Once they are done with the plant, they sprout wings and go to a new plant.
Okay, because I had all these plants. Remember when I was like, I need green in my house. So I got all these plants and I put them, you know, all over my house. And then they grew all these little tiny fly things because I don't know why, but they were everywhere. And I finally had to get rid of the plants. And the guys next door were like, what are you doing putting those plants out? And I was like, because I want someone to take them, but I'm not going to have them. And they were like, why? And I told them the story. And they were like, we'll take them. And now every time I see them, I'm like, hope you're enjoying your fucking flies. Like, I didn't warn you. And also, they haven't invited me over lately.
Those might be nuts.
And I think that they're against me. But then I found out, because I gave them all those flies. But then I looked it up, and it said that ladybugs will kill them. And so I ordered ladybugs on Amazon. Do you remember? I had all these ladybugs.
You can order ladybugs.
I had hundreds of ladybugs. Yeah. They were all over my house. They were crawling all over me. They were everywhere.
They multiply. My parents have ladybugs all over their house. And like, but you can't kill them because they're ladybugs.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill a ladybug.
I'm like, I mean, like, they're the only bug that comes like in a cute outfit. So you're like, okay, fine. And they like, they're cute. They sort of like walk around kind of just like looking. They're all looking for their friend Nancy. They're like, Nancy, is Nancy
They really
here?
All are. They like mean no harm. Nancy? They're just like, oh, just passing through. Have you seen Nance? Nance?
Nance? Have you seen? Hey, I was looking for Cynthia. Cynth? Santh, you told me to meet you on the CD. The CD case.
Do me
case.
A favor when you see Nance, would you just tell her? Brr, I'm not flying. I'm just gonna. Brr, just so you know what I'm saying. You get it? I'm just gonna. No, they do that.
Hey, if you see Nance, tell her I'm at the wainscoting. Thanks. I'm at the baseboards.
Yeah, I never killed the ladybug. I just fucking love those things. They're so sweet. Now, let me tell you
They're so cute.
They're terrible predators because I still had those little fucking bugs everywhere. So, you know what, ladybugs? You also need to do a better job. If I found a ladybug version of Wendy, I would say, Wendy, why did you teach your children ladybugs to be such terrible predators? Okay, they need to do better, Wendy. Still believe in you.
Mothers, don't let your ladybugs become predators. So Craig has future aphid condominiums that he's growing. And then we see Madison with Hudson. Hudson seems to have rebounded well after getting the shit beat out of him and bitten up like crazy last week. And now he's
a resilient kid. He's not a beta. He's not a ladybug.
It helped when I beheaded the mother down the street of that child who hurt my child.
Well, when I threw her into a ravine, that certainly helped.
I
cut off her hair and sold it to Gwen's.
I swatted the bitch. FBI is still over there questioning her. So Hudson's feeling just fine.
Hudson is going to ask a girl to be his girlfriend or his Valentine.
So Hudson, you got any girls yet? Please tell me Taylor hadn't sent any nudes. Everybody hand over your iPhones. I'm checking for Taylor's.
Hey, now we have Shep FaceTiming his mom. Gosh, mom, is it okay if I bring a bunch of guys up to Loonville to take them to the house? Like, ask, you know, also, can you ask Dad about the outdoor grill? It's pretty self-explanatory. Oh, one more thing, mom. Go fuck yourself. Let me do what I want to do in life.
She's like, hopefully one of your friends can work the grill. Thanks for nothing, Slore.
So then we go to JT's event space, which is a disaster. I guess he does not hire a cleaning staff.
You hired a violinist or whatever, a fiddle player or whatever the hell that guy was playing, and you can't hire someone to clean up? That is disgusting. I don't want to rent that place. Also, do you ever leave? Why is JT always in this place? How are they not having the cast trip in the event space? Like, leave, JT.
I know.
I smell you from here.
He's like, guess what? The event space has wheels. We're taking it to Loonville. So, yeah, they're cleaning up, and so Rod comes over, and he's like, JT, the shambles of last night, am I right? And JT's like, oh, yeah, do you remember what Craig did over there? He was trying to big dick energy me, sitting on top of the cushions with his shoes on. With his shoes, my mother installed that cushion. Well, guess what? He brought TPE, Tiny Pillow Energy. Get it? A few times I get to make jokes with the words tiny.
Tiny Pillow Energy. I thought he was saying Tiny Polo Energy. I'm so glad you said that because I was like, he's not even wearing a polo. And then I listened to it like three times. I was like, what does this mean? But JT's always trying to make something happen. You know, this week it's TPE.
Yeah.
Bro code. Remember when he thought he invented bro code?
No, professional right, conduct.
Professional conduct. Thank you, because bro code was the thing. Professional conduct. So Rod's like, okay, well, I'm here to clean with you, I guess. And this is where we kind of enter the problem of this season. They've got a lot of, like, scandal going on, but they don't have a lot of charisma going on. They've got two guys who are going to clean stuff boringly, and then their female leads are Taylor and Olivia, who are also pretty low on the energy scale, I would say. But, you know, still enjoying it. Just pointing it out that I was like, wow, the editors are doing a good job of just editing a lot of things together.
I would say this show has never really had too much charisma in terms of its cast. I mean, you're looking at Craig, who talks like this for an entire season. He's developed charisma. It's taken all these people years to get to where they are. So I just feel like Rod and JT, you know, they're just starting out. They're just like year one Southern Charm newbies trying to see what sort of charisma they can find under a pillow. Yeah, you know,
and it's not American energy. Idol, you know, it's just like privileged white people. So, you know, I believe in you.
Well, Rod's not, to be fair, Rod is not white.
You're but, right. I just mean it is in still general. Just
privileged people.
I just mean in general.
In general, generally yeah. speaking.
Over, yeah. The over, overall.
the general overall. Arc of the show. The definitely, anyway, ladybugs, am I right? You know what's funny about ladybugs? They have so much charisma. So, anyway, Rod was saying he was disappointed because he was really hoping that Olivia's first meal back to quote-unquote normalcy, it was not going to be like World War III. Like, what sort of meal at JT's mama's event space is with a guy on, like, electric fiddle is going to be anything close to normal? You're on a TV show. There's no such thing as normalcy. Did you not read the Vanity Fair article?
And so JT is saying, you know, Taylor just feels so alienated. She's just she's just got BSE, bad sweater energy. She just can't stop knitting terrible sweaters. She's just so sad. And then we see a clip of him on the phone with her being like, please don't be sad. You can marry me. And she's like, no, thanks. I just wish anybody would like me. I like you. You don't count anybody else.
But I'm so sorry for you. Last night was brutal. I know. Everyone's against me. There's not one single person who seems to be in my corner who even likes me. But it's me. I'm here.
I wish
there was someone.
Just anyone. I just wish I knew someone that, I don't know, had some kind of a rental space or something that maybe I could throw a party. I've got a rental space.
It's like, I'm everything you want. I'm everything you need. I'm everything inside of you that you wish you could be.
She's like, Is that a busy signal? Sorry, was I doing that out loud?
It's like, I knew I shouldn't have sung Vertical Horizon.
So we cut back and Rod's like, okay now, but come on now, Taylor's been caught in what, three lies now? And JT's like, yeah, but I got a soft spot for him. She's young, she's petite, she's blonde, and she's as white as the inside of mommy's dinner rolls, right? People can make decisions.
I also have a literal soft spot for her, the cushion that Craig tried to soil with his shoes.
And this was kind of the controversy last week, I think, with us in our discussion, was kind of this, you know, that people like Taylor do always get away with everything, and that Madison had a point and Levitt had a point. I don't disagree. I do think that they're infantilizing Taylor, and I do see that thing. I mean, I am from Texas, okay? I do know. I've talked many times about the power of the blonde here in Texas. You know, that's a real thing. So I see that. My point was, I just don't like the slut-shaming coming from the women. I think if it was a or the men, obviously the men, but I just don't like it. That's all.
You know what though? We as men can't police women, and if the women are going to slut shame the other women, well,
it's not policing. I'm just saying I don't like it. Okay, I'm not pulling anybody over. It just bugs me. I don't like to see people getting slut shamed, and I don't think it was right that Madison was ever slut shamed by this crew either. You know, it's bullshit. So that's all. I don't know why I'm going to that, but I just
You're in the spirit. It's okay. So JT, well, to this end, JT says, well, people can make bad decisions. Doesn't make them bad people. I know that. When I was going through the pain of divorce, there were a few years where I was not easy to be around. Not because of my personality. I just had this weird thing where I hated deodorant because it sounded like divorcing a little bit. So I was just difficult to be around. But I can look at Taylor and say, are you not trustworthy? Or are you just going through pain? Or do you just really like those kind of chunky knit turtleneck sweaters? Because, I mean, I need to know what's going on
here. I don't think he's saying that at all. I think he's, like, shopping. And he's one of those people who's going shopping around and is looking above his budget and looking for something with a scuff mark so he can take it up to the front desk and say, this has a scuff mark on it. I think that everybody is acting like this is a big stain on Taylor. And so now he's saying, like, oh, well, now you're finally not too good for me. And then when she consistently tells him no, he's going to be like one of those guys at a crosswalk in New York. He's like, hey, baby, you're so hot. And then they're finally like, fuck off. And he's like, you're fat anyway.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
That's my prediction.
I think JT, he is like obsessing over Taylor. But I think actually the woman for JT is Naomi. Because, you know, JT would be like, hey, Naomi, I put down a cushion for you to sit on. Shut up, JT. Oh, yeah, that was so good. He'll just, like, get off on Naomi rolling her eyes.
Naomi is not going to settle for an Naomi event space. I will tell you that right now. She's not going to settle for that event space with mommy and his terrible couches. She's not going to do it.
She's like, I'll hold space for people, but I'm not going to marry space.
So, let's see. So Rod's like, yeah, you know, well, I can tell you this much. Olivia is only going to be friends with Taylor again if Taylor is honest to a T. What are you two talking about, whether two girls are going to be friends or not? Get a life. Go sweep. Go finish sweeping the floor.
Meanwhile, I mean, this is what's frustrating is that, like, oh, so Taylor, I mean, it's bad. Taylor lied 3 times. Taylor told big, bad lies. Like, she definitely fucked up that relationship. But Austin can lie, honestly, a million times, and Olivia will still maintain a friendship with him, which is the fucked up thing with this show, with the guys. And that is something that gets discussed sort of later. But Olivia's keeping Taylor at arm's length. And if a news story comes out, if we find out that if Taylor and Austin had sex, that's going to be the end for Olivia and Taylor, America's favorite two friends they just sort of learned about.
Thelma and Louise, kind of. The new Thelma and Louise, kind of.
The new Lucy and Ethel.
I think Olivia's been pretty Mary good to Taylor. Sandra. I mean, she stuck up for her against everybody last week. Yeah. I think she's pretty good to Taylor. She's not like the rest of these guys. So then we go to Austin meeting Olivia for a coffee on the side of the road because it's an Austin date. So what really do you expect? Austin's just like, give me a coffee and I'll show up half an hour late on the shoulder of the road.
Right. Yeah, where are they? Like, where do they find this like little IKEA outdoor set that they just sat down on next to like a mile marker on a highway? This random ass really place did.
So she's like, wow, I forgot that it takes you longer to get ready than it even takes me.
Which is funny because we're both wearing athleisure. So Austin's like, yeah, well, thanks for meeting up with me today by the side of this highway. I feel like I didn't really get to talk to you last night because, like, last night threw me for a loop. I was thrown for a loop.
Yeah, I don't really know is like, what Taylor thinks she's doing, sending nudes to Whitney like that. But she did it, and I was like, what? Why?
I mean, sending that to Whitney of all people? Of all people, Whitney. I mean, seriously, that is quite literally the last person to send it
to. Did you get one? Did you get a nudie? Did you get a Taylor nudie, too? Like, in that whole spin-out thing she's doing, because she's spinning out right now. Did you get one of those, too?
That
mouth.
No. No, I never did. Can't you see I'm sincere?
And he looks like he's totally 100% lying. There's a very long pause before he says, no, I did not. And he looks out to the side and literally is doing what Ben is doing, sticking his tongue out. I mean, Austin is the worst liar.
He should not stick that tongue out on the side of the road. Cars are going to think it's an exit ramp. But they're just going to be like, oh, here I go. And they're just going to drive up into his
mouth.
They're
going to think his face is hitchhiking. So this guy is the worst liar. I mean, it just goes to show you that practice doesn't make perfect. I mean, he is terrible. So he's like, never, never, never got a nude from Taylor. That's insane. That's insane. So speaking of, did you talk to Taylor after, you know, after she sent me that nude? And Olivia's like, yeah, because she was there for me. So I'm like, not going to turn anybody away who's like, you know, I'm going to like take whoever's at my door and be happy. I'm like an emotional version of JT's penis. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't talked to you for 20 minutes. I hate you.
Yeah. You know that like somewhere Lisa Barlow's like, Jack, don't go to Columbia. Go to Charleston. Someone's at a door wants to talk to you. So like finally Olivia, they found
their mark. Someone will always open the door. Jack.
She just has a stack of encyclopedias and Mormon brochures.
Like the whole supporting cast of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City just got on a bus hearing that.
So then Olivia's talking about how Austin really stepped up after the funeral, and then they like hugged and sat in the driveway for a long time. So I guess like places where vehicles are is like their thing now. And so she was really comforted by the fact that Austin knows the pain of losing a sibling. And he says, by the way, it did come to my attention when talking to my therapist that maybe I don't make it quite literally clear to certain people in my life just how quite literally important they are to me. And the talk that you and I had at Lisa and Caleb's, remember when you said, do not talk to me about being a friend? Yeah, quite literally. It just made me feel like you thought I didn't care about our relationship. Oh. And it's not that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not that. It's not that I don't care about our relationship. It's just I want to use you for sex, but not be committed to you. So that's really all that was.
I know, exactly. Like, what do you think? Oh, yeah, I was... I don't know how you got the impression I didn't really want to be there for you after I led you on until the camera stopped and then completely ghosted you and started making out with Shep's ex-girlfriend, who's your best friend. So, I don't, so weird that you would get the impression that I don't respect you. God. I really need to learn to communicate better. God, thank God for therapists. Am I right? Yeah. We're going to make out now, right? I'm going to therapy.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God for Dr. Fraser Crane. I had to realize how important you are to my storyline. I mean, my life. My life. My life.
One of the funny things about the Vanity Fair article that we didn't mention was, and I learned this from that show, I forgot the name of it, on Lifetime, about the filming of The Bachelor, like the fictionalized version. Unreal. Yeah. I love that show, by the way. You wouldn't know from my butchering of the title, but that's a great show. Watch it. But anyway, we learned from that show that they have to have like a mental health professional on set at all times. And they're like totally just in their trailer smoking or whatever, not paying attention. And the one from Bravo, at least for the Housewives, is some guy from a website called realityshrinks.net. I can't. So yeah. I feel like I don't want to.
It's like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons. Hey, everybody. You got a problem? Oh.
So I just think of that when Austin's like, look, I'm going to therapy. It's insane right now. It's insane. Realityshrinks.net. Try it.
Bing. So Olivia says, I want to trust you and get back there, you know, but I just don't know how. There's a mental blockage, which I feel like mental blockage really, that could have just been Austin's senior superlative, you know, like there's most likely to succeed, funniest person, and then Austin, just mental blockage. He's just a mental blockage.
He's like, what do you take when you can't poop?
He needs mental malox.
He's like he's a mental laxative. He'll just make you mentally shit yourself, Austin. Just keep staying with Austin. Also, just like to point out, you're no longer dating Austin. You don't have to trust him anymore. You know what I mean? I don't like hearing that kind of language from Olivia. Like, I just don't know if I can trust you. Because that leads me to believe that she's working on something with Austin. And I don't know Olivia that well yet on the show. But I can tell you this much. She's way too good for that fucker. So please move along.
She is. And he says, like, he understands that, like, you know, that she doesn't trust him. But I'm going to try to take the mature approach and like let her work out these feelings and be able to, so that way we can continue being friends. And I'm going to push through her ice wall if it fucking kills me. I'm like, please cut to the scene from from Christmas Story with a kid putting his tongue on the frozen bowl, because that's how Austin's gonna get through an ice wall. My tongue is stuck.
Austin wouldn't even have to do it on purpose. All he has to do is pass a frozen pole, and that could happen. He could just be like, that cold, my tongue's stuck to that pole.
Austin is going to be the worst White Walker in Game of Thrones. He's going to get to the big ice wall and be like, this is insane right now. There's an ice wall. Stupid. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Austin is like a walking up Christmas story. I mean, Mom, I'm dating Austin. Watch out, honey. He'll poke your eye out with that thing. I know. He doesn't have a gun, Mother.
And that's
his tongue.
Yeah, and that slide that the kid goes down is just Austin's tongue. So, just Santa kicking a kid down Austin's tongue.
Instead of the sexy leg lamp, it's just like a tongue, like on the table with like a big stupid Fozzie Bear on
with
top.
With a trop hop. It's a trop hop can on top.
Okay.
So, Austin's like, so this goes back to my reason for calling you. You keep saying you want a proper line of communication. That hasn't happened. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. So, Olivia's like, she's like, well, they start talking about Taylor, and she said that she's not talking to Taylor about Austin anytime soon. And she was like, because she was telling me that you love me and that we should give it a true, genuine chance. And that's just like, that's like fucked up.
He's like,
I mean,
my interrupting. I mean, what? It's fucked up what?
No, I was just going to say that's more fucked up than like getting a personality.
It would be really hard. Okay, I can't do that.
It's hard.
Do you have any kind of sweater that would represent how fucked up that is? So she's like, yeah. He says, yeah, that was fucked up. And I do love you. And I hurt you. And I know we're supposed to be in each other's life. I just know about you. I just know it. And she's like, well, I want to lean into that, but I'm in a funk. Like, it would be nice to be around each other and not daydream about how to murder you. I was like, oh, really? Listen, that's only going to get more intense the more you know Austin. My God, could you imagine marrying Austin? Jesus.
I honestly cannot. It seems like one of the worst decisions a human could make. So Austin's like, he's like, well, I'm going to continue to text you things like movie quotes and things like that. Are you not entertained? It's Gladiator. You remember, it's a movie.
He's like, hold on, I'm just going to text you a quote. With my ass cheeks. This is Jim Carrey. This is a Jim Carrey movie.
It was me. Jim Carrey, liar, liar.
Just Jim Carrey and everything. I don't even know more Jim Carrey quotes. God, I'm proud of myself, actually. I feel this is the most intelligent I've felt in a long time.
Hey, Olivia. You shall not pass. It's Lord of the Rings.
With Jim Carrey. Starring Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
And she's like, well, I appreciate the direct line of communication that we've got going on here.
Yeah, well, if you're a bird, I'm a bird. It's from The Notebook. So we then go to Shep and Craig at Little Craig at an outdoor bar, and Whitney meets up. And Whitney's like, hello, non-mother. It's sunny out. I thought it'd be a little colder, sort of hoping it would be. And Shep is like, oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's just start this off. So, Whitney, you should have told me about the nude photo of from that night with Taylor. I mean, you showed it to everyone else and not me. That's cool. I wanted to see your titties one more time. Gosh. Like,
look, man. I mean, look. It was a joke. Okay. I wasn't trying to conceal him. It was just like, whatever. It was hilarious. And Shep's like, yeah, I've known him a long time. I just wish he told me. This sucks. And he goes, and just so you know, I deleted it. I mean, it's already in Mother's iCloud, so. But that was really the only goal.
Yeah, we printed out a copy and put it in the cupboard with Randy. Neither of them getting out anytime soon.
It's Mother's Christmas card for the year, so that's going to be going out to everybody anyway, so yeah, I deleted it.
Shep is like, was it dark? She said it was dark and grainy. Oh no, it was sent on a dark and rainy night, but it was clear as day. Oh, I mean, I don't remember. I don't know what it was. It was my mistake to laugh about it and show it to my mom and Madison and talk about and it on Craig. TV and then send it to the whole cast except for you and Craig and little Craig. Chelsea, remember her? Send it to her too.
Chelsea. Made sure that I got it into Danny while she was getting her her baby looked at in the x-ray.
Yeah, Danny's pregnant.
I was showing it to the baby.
Did an ultrasound. It's just, they did an ultrasound and she's pregnant with the photo.
Can you, and, can you guys beam this through the ultrasound so Danny's baby can see it? Hilarious. Hey,
remember that wacky girl from season one that no one remembers with the crazy hair who was dating the old guy who looked like Ross Perot? Showed it to her too.
So Shep's like, well, you know what? Taylor's just on an island. I hate that for her. Poor Taylor. It pains me to see Taylor so morally and spiritually lost. I feel responsible. Really? Person who constantly made fun of her religion and said you fucking hate religion and marriage and everything she stands for? I mean, it doesn't make you responsible, but it's funny that you feel like bad that she's so morally lost. Wasn't that your point? Wasn't your point to morally misguide her, sir?
I mean, if we're going to talk about morally lost, how about the fact that Shep is more concerned that he was the last to know about the photo instead of being concerned that people were passing around a photo of this girl behind her back than when she was nude?
He was just mad that he was the last. I think that's more the issue. He wasn't passed the photo, you know?
I'm always the last to know. I'm like Telemetry. I'm always the last to know. Gosh.
So let's see. Yeah. So... he's like, I just heard her and I have all this guilt and I can't wait to go out of town for guys' night. And Whitney's like, yeah, I wish I could come to, what's the poor place? What's the Linville. Wealthy place that you're going to?
Lin-Manuel Mirandaville.
Lindaville. And Shep's like, yeah, we're going to cook steaks. Hopefully, if somebody knows how to light the gas grill, since stupid, slutty mom couldn't help me. And then drink some steaks, have some fine wines, you know. And I know JT's a lot for you to deal with, but, I mean, he thinks he's cool. Yeah, and he also thinks he's amusing, which is hilarious. So
he didn't get the photo. I didn't show him the photo. So now we go over to Taylor's house, and... I do feel bad for Taylor because her home life is getting sadder and sadder. It's just her and her, like, in her apartment assembling little table tents for Day Chaser. And, like, Penelope is there fixed? Is that the word? Is that the word? Or is that archaic when you do that to a dog?
Right.
Take out the lady parts.
It broken in the first place? I don't know.
I'm like, this dog is, like, I don't mean to offend the lady dogs. People are like, you can't call a dog things. I don't know.
My dog is. Just get a lot of like when there's a paw trying to tie.
I'm like, I'm trying to keep. It's like when you talk about Southern charm, I always feel like I'm about to step into like a just say something totally wrong. Everyone's like, we don't say those words anymore. We don't say dogs are fixed. But she was fixed.
So she's in a little diaper thing. Taylor's just the kind of person who puts together table tents. I mean, it's so stupid. Really, all you do is open the plastic slot, shove the paper in, and put it on the table. Why are you spending an extra hour before you have to do something to like just sit there? That's just Taylor, you know. I feel like this scene explains Taylor.
Table tents. I didn't know that was even what they were called, but of course she's making table tents at home. So Penelope's watching sad, and Penelope's like, wow, I just had my lady parts taken out and I'm the one feeling bad for you right now. Wow.
And she's wearing a hat that says boozy. Okay. So her mom calls, or she calls her mom Leslie, who is being played by Diane Ladd. Am I right? So that's some Diane Ladd action.
Yes. That was definitely some Diane Ladd. It was good. Diane Ladd, let's not forget, a Facebook suggestion friend for me. Let's never forget. When Facebook was like, someone you might know, Diane Ladd. I was like, thank you. It's about time the algorithm was taken over by gay men. I was like, I'm just waiting for someone you might know, Diane Weist.
Just all the Diane.
Waiting for that.
Any classic Diane.
Any Diane. Diane Sawyer. You might know Diane Sawyer. You know Diane Sawyer's Facebook photo is her like doing the thing with doing the finger tent, speaking of tents, on her chin. Like, I'm Diane Sawyer.
This is Sawyer tent.
Here's my photo.
So Diane Ladd is her mom, and she's like, how you doing, honey? And you know that she's talked to her all the time because you could just see her like sad Diane Ladd face. Suggested friend, Diane Lane. Just thought of one for you. So
Diane Lane would be
Taylor's
great.
Like, mom, I think I just want to come home. She's like, but you're getting so good at table tennis, honey. Look at you go. I mean, that was the fastest you ever did one. What was that, 3 minutes? Good for you. Good for you.
Do another one. And so then Leslie sees Penelope in her diaper, and Leslie goes, oh, a diaper. I thought that was a chastity belt. I mean, you wouldn't know what that is, slutty little daughter.
What the hell?
I'm just kidding. Come back to the lake.
Right? And so
Taylor's like, oh,
yeah,
wow.
She's like, I actually, thanks. Do you know what that is, mother? She's like, yeah, it was sarcasm, you fucking idiot. So she's like, when things are bad, I like to be with my family at the lake house. And she's like, I mean, it feels like everyone's against me, mom. Have I made mistakes recently? Sure. She's like, we've all made mistakes, honey. I took off my chastity belt. Sorry. Was that too soon? Come up and relax. Just come up and relax.
Honey, we've all screwed up. We've screwed up. We all have done it. Look, even I sent a nude to Whitney once. It just happens. I don't understand it, but we all somehow do these things to Whitney.
Listen, we all make mistakes, but at least you're not dating JT.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, you know what you should do?
Who? Justin Timberlake.
No, the little guy, little one, with the event space and a mommy.
Not familiar.
The emotional.
Maybe you're mistaken.
The figurative
mom.
Chastity belt. Oh, JT, right, JT.
Right. The person you hang around you if you don't want people to have sex with you. Got it.
So she's like, you know what you should do? Invite Olivia, because the lake house is a place for healing. And also, there's a lot of leaves to cover your body parts like Adam and Eve. So if you do take a picture of yourself, it won't be nude this time. Come home, honey.
This lake house, they're really into this lake house. I mean, the lake house is nice. We see it. It's nice. But they talk about it. Like, it's like cult-like. They're like, oh, the lake house. I remember the lake house. My grandparents live around the corner from the lake house. My aunts and uncles live near the lake house. There's a fish in the lake, and that's near the lake house. God, I love the lake house. It's like, we get it. It's a house in the lake.
This is an episode where people go to their family homes. This is a very privilege-heavy episode. They're like, wow, now let's do this other thing that I never earned. So the guys pack to go on their guys trip or whatever, and Rod is a straight guy, you know, so he's, well, a guy, I guess we've all done this, packing straight out of the dryer and counting underwear by the day, and then packing one extra, and he says, just in case you shit yourself, and takes that extra pair.
Well, Craig is cooking the food, so you never know when there might be some leakage. So then JT is like, hey, Shep. Hey, it's JT. Yeah. Do I need a bathing suit? Like, what do I pack? What do I do? I've never been to a rich person's home before. Shep's like, oh, gosh, just wear something warm. It's going to be cold. And if we decide to go swimming, we'll just wrap you up in toilet paper and dip you in. Gosh, 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 gosh.
So the guys gather to do this bus trip at Shep's house to this place. And they have to be on the bus for 5 fucking hours. Who gets a cabin 5 hours away? That's a lot, right?
It's a lot. Well, it's not a cabin. It's a house. It's a mountain house. So, you know, you got to follow the money on these shows. So that's what they're doing. So they're all getting on to the bus. Austin gets on and goes, huh. All aboard the bang bus, baby. Quite literally, it's insane right now.
So he's like, wow, 5 hours, huh? Well, you know, it's really not normal to be confined on a space with someone who's trying to date your ex. You know, I'm trying to strap, you know, you're going to have to strap me to the roof of this bus.
I'm sure all the other cars on the highway would like that. They'll have their wipers on while it's fully sunny. So it's just awesome.
It's like a snow machine. Like, wow. It's starting early this year.
I know. Drive Austin to California. Fix the drought. Actually, I don't think we're in a drought anymore. So Craig shows up. Hi. And then JT shows up and JT's getting out of his Uber. They're watching him and someone's like, oh, the last piece of the puzzle arrived. And then someone else goes, the smallest piece of the puzzle. Oh,
JT is, this is so JT. So he gets out of his car and he's trying to look cool for the guys. And then the car just takes off with the suitcases and everything. So he's like, hey, I own an event space. And they're cracking up. And Shep goes, wow, does that guy really does get the short end of the stick. No pun intended. I mean, the guy is the short end of the stick. I'll say that.
He is literally doing the end of the What's Happening opening credits with rerun chasing after the pickup truck. He's like, wait for my bags. So JT, by the way, one of my favorite instrumental sitcom theme songs, What's Happening. You know it? It goes like this. No. It goes like this. It goes.
That's what's happening.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. That's so good.
Which one was I singing? I suck at my themes.
Do yours again.
No, I just suck at it. It's terrible. I'm not doing it. I'm insecure. Thanks a lot for doing this to me today.
What was the one you were doing? You were doing something, but I wasn't. Was it?
What's that one?
I don't know. What I know that theme song, but I can't place it. It's a famous one too, which is
okay. Well, I failed that one. So the guys.
All right, let's talk about what's happening.
Yeah, the guys are packing, going on. They're packed. They're meeting. They're making short jokes, and then now Chef is telling us all the small talk of why he loves his lake house, and then they're talking about how they're going to go fly fishing, and JT's dressed like a fisherman, but he's like, I've never been fly fishing. And Craig's like, it's not just like regular fishing. It's like fishing that you have to make an effort.
Paige is somewhere like at Dean and DeLuca in New York City. She goes, oh my God, I just got a shiver. I just got this psychic sense that Craig is talking about fly fishing somewhere in a confined space. Ugh. Ugh.
Does anybody have mouthwash? I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. I just have this psychic sense about when Craig's saying something stupid.
Sorry, it's weird. What's the opposite of shining? It's the dulling. Sorry. So
I've got the dulling.
But he's just like,
here's
knocking.
Craig.
All work and no play makes Craig get a little tired because he was working all day. But like the thing is that like, you know, you gotta work, but like honestly you need to have time for your friends, because you don't have time for your friends. It's like, it's just gonna be like really bad. And like I got a new house and stuff, but like it's cool and I love Paige.
So Shep is whoa, you dress like you fish, JT. How does it feel to live a lie? Oh, also we got some comments reminding you, Ben, because last week I'm saying you because they blamed
what
both of us, but this was you.
But what
was
I do?
Saying you know that Taylor and Shep are never gonna work out because she drives a Ford. And people were like, what is he talking about? What are they talking about? Which I took offense to. And
did I Ford frame her?
She does drive a Ford, but so did Shep. And Shep has a Ford, and he also drives a Buick, which they apparently isn't.
He
that.
Does have a Buick. He's always driving that Buick.
Apparently.
Wait, but what?
Isn't Buick fancy? Saying, I've always thought Buick was fancy. I don't know.
Well, Buick is. I always felt like Buick gave him a free Buick, and because like, there was a period of time where Buick was trying hard.
I saw the redhead from Grey's Anatomy one time. I used to see her in L.A. out, and she was always driving her Cadillac, because, you know, she used to do those Cadillac commercials. And, like, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
Look at me. I got a Cadillac. God, I wish Matthew McConaughey was in a Bravo show, because I heard him on a podcast. I just want to talk about him, because he talks like that. You know what I like? Writing children's books. You know what? Him, holler, doom, dom. Who's Papa are you?
Matthew, you have an... You have an open invitation to watch What Crappens, Matthew McConaughey. By the way, Buick, get it together. Like, how is your brand so old and you're still such a meh car? I'm sorry. Get it together.
Are they meh? I don't really know a lot about them.
I think they're meh. We used to have a Buick. We used to have a big green Buick with a paisley interior.
My grandfather used to have a Cadillac, and that was like everyone thought he was like Jiddy Warbucks over there. We're like, oh yeah, Jiddy has a Cadillac. I mean, it was from like 1960 or whatever, but still. We're like, wow.
But Cadillac got it together. They got the Escalade. They like found a way. Like a lot of these cars can find a way, but I feel like Buick is always trying to find a way and they just haven't broken through. Like someone needs to fix Buick, like make Buick happen, because I'm sick of it.
You had it with Buick.
I'm sick of this Buick.
What'd you had it with Buick. You're just done.
I have had it with Buick. We're gonna have a Buick reckoning. I guess the theory is. So my theory was that they're not going to work out because Taylor's driving a Ford, and that's not fancy enough for Shep. But the thing is that I think Shep is driving a Ford because it was probably given to him by Ford, whereas Taylor's driving a Ford because she's driving a Ford. Hmm. So I still think my theory still stands. Just has more elaboration.
So just wanted to get that. I just wanted to car shame you because I don't really know the difference between those cars. I don't really know. Although I do like the new Ford Mustang. I think that's real cute. But then I looked it up and it's all electric. It's like a crossover version, but I don't know if it's a Mustang, but it's a Ford. It's a Mustang, right? It has the horse on it, but it's like a crossover looking car. It doesn't look like a Mustang, but it's real cute. And I looked it up and it was like all a new electric. And I was like, what about when the world ends and you really need to drive? You can't, I don't have a hybrid, but not, why are we talking about this? Fishing. We're talking about fly fishing.
Fishing. All I've got is, well, by the way, Ford also fixed the Ford Bronco. Very popular. They love fixed that it. Car. I hate a Mustang, but Mustangs are popular. You know, Buick, just find a way in. Find a way in, yeah. Buick. So Craig, Craig is talking about, Craig's getting into a tizzy because it's Valentine's Day and he's ordered some flowers for Paige, but they haven't arrived on time and he's losing his mind as he's tracking it and trying to like call 1-800-FLOWERS. And he's like, I mean, I paid extra to have my Valentine's Day card and flowers to be delivered this morning and they're still not there.
What do you want to bet Paige is in New York going, oh, Jesus Christ, if he sends me fucking flowers again. Least creative gift to send She's somebody. Like, well, can't wait for the flowers. She's just going to not answer the door.
She's like on the phone. She's like, hey, Hannah, there is a flower man on the other side of my front door and he has begonias. Disgusting. I will not take these flowers. I'm not going to take them. I will not accept the delivery.
Loser. So, let's see. What are we talking about? Fishing. There's a lot of like small talk in this episode. More flowers, than us.
Buicks.
Probably about as flowers much as us in this episode. So we go from flowers and then they start talking relationship status. And what is everybody's relationship status? And Rodrigo's like, tied down, because Rodrigo's there too, you know, which we didn't mention. And then Rod's like, I'm openly dating. And I just brought an extra pair of underwear in case I shit myself. So that's where I'm at.
And also goes, single. Like my therapist, DrReality.net, he said I shouldn't sleep with anyone for the next 2 months. And Craig's like, yeah, you shouldn't because you don't know how to be alone. Don't be mean, Craig. Well, that's like, hey, you know what? Like that could be the start of a great rom-com. Like you meet a great guy, but you're like, a great girl, but you're like, I can't because it's 2 months. You know what I'm saying? It's like so funny. It's like a really good
movie. You can't do it for like 2 months, but then like you date her and she leaves looking like she's just walked through a car wash anyway. That's so romantic.
I will return. I will find you, love you, marry you, and live without shame. Atonement, 2007. Sorry, just texted that to Olivia.
So Taylor drives and calls Shep on Valentine's, which, you know, don't do that. But Shep, please don't call Shep on Valentine's, okay? So Shep's like, hey, yeah. Taylor, whoa, Taylor, wow, happy Valentine's, Taylor. And she's like, I'm surprised you remembered. Were you going to ask me to be your Valentine? He's like, no, because Valentine's Day is for weak people and losers like my mother. But me and the boys are going to make some hamburgers in the shape of hearts later.
Wow, you sound salty. Yeah, well, almost as salty as when I found out that I didn't get to see your nude photo. So, gosh, how are you? And she's good. I'm going to Asheville tonight and I'm going to spend some time with mom and dad at the lake. He's like, oh, cool. And I hope Olivia comes. to the lake.
I have a lake house. He's like, yeah, oh, but the girls should come. We've got so much testosterone. Wouldn't it be fun if the girls came, guys? I'm like, yeah, we'd love to see you. Happy Valentine's Day. And JT's like, happy Valentine's Day, Taylor. Love you.
love of my life, I'm going to say to you, would you be mine?
She's like, voicemail. Wait, did you just vocally send me the voicemail? Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud?
Hi, you've reached Taylor. I'm not here right now, so please, you know what to do. Leave a message after the beep, beep. Taylor, you're talking on the phone. I've heard your whole conversation.
So the girls consider coming. They're going to consider coming. So then later, we start doing this, like, land 2 hours later, and JT is, like, throwing up a bottle of Wild Turkey like he's in Cocktail, but then dropping it on the ground. And I was like, you know what? You're not only a shame to cool people, you're a shame to short people, because Tom Cruise really had that perfected, okay? You can't do that to a short hero.
He is our short Meshuggah King, and you know what? He showed that, you know, he shows you can do it. He shows you can do it. Okay, so then it's 3 hours, and now everyone's napping. And then now it's 2 hours to go, and Craig is back on the phone. He's like, why is there a signature required for flowers, you fuck? He's losing his mind over the flowers. And then 1 hour to go, hey, do you guys think panda bears are real? Like, I really want them to be real.
Panda bears are real, dude. And he's, oh, really? You believe that? Joke's on you. And Chef's like, Craig has all those conspiracies. I really think that guy's got a screw loose. And then we see a clip of him talking about how he won't take the flu vaccine because, like, it makes you walk backwards.
Yeah. So Rodrigo goes, so you don't think that panda bears are real? He was like, because there's no evidence of it. Pandas definitely aren't real. They're just like people in panda suits.
So then we go to Taylor's lake house. It's gorgeous. I mean, the house itself, I mean, it's huge, and it is right on the lake. It's so pretty. So she goes home, and this family really loves their literal sign, you know, their sign art. And it's like, home is where memories are made. Slut, keep your clothes on. I was like, whoa, God, the mom really got that sign made quickly.
Home is where memories are made, not nude photos. So Taylor, keep a lid on it. It's like, wow, they sell that at Marshall's?
It's like, welcome home. We've put a nanny cam in your bedroom. Keep your clothes on. Like, wow.
So, yeah, Taylor's there and her mom, Leslie, and then her dad, Rick. Rick walks in and Taylor starts waxing poetic again about, she's like, the lake house, it's on a mountain. It's like a mountain oasis. And when I'm at the lake, it's like you're in the mountains, but you're at a lake and it's oasis. And I'm like, okay, this is either going to be the scene of a horror movie or a very boring movie on Great American Country.
Well, I'll tell you what it turned into. A very sweet but very boring family scene. They all just kind of stand in a circle. The brother comes over with his girlfriend, Worth. And then the grandparents come over. And Worth, I believe, passes away later in the season. So,
I wonder. Does he really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I had no idea.
She loses her brother as well later in the season.
No.
Yes.
Way. Oh my God, I'm glad you told me that so I didn't make fun of him.
Yeah.
That's shocking. I know.
That's why I'm like, okay, fast forward. I know about
Olivia's brother.
Yeah, Olivia's brother, and then Taylor loses her brother later in the season. I think there was something going on in Charleston or something. I don't know, but a lot of tragedy this season. Jesus. On this show. So he passes, so I don't really want to mock them too much, but they have a whole family scene, and they're like very nice, and I'm not sure why this scene is so long, but they seem like very nice people. And the grandparents are talking about how they've been married almost 70 years, and the grandma's like, oh yeah, and it takes 65 for them to finally start doing what you're telling them to do.
And imagine it took us 67 years of being married before we had to see a nude photo of our granddaughter in our inboxes. Thanks a lot for that.
So they're like, so do they still use the term courting grandparents? And Taylor's like, no, now we say talking and then we're dating. And her brother's like, yeah, now it's DTR. You gotta define the relationship.
It's like,
DTR, DTF. DT. Yeah, we still say Corton, but it's like more like when I'm sick of your ass, I'm taking you to fucking court and taking half of what you have because I don't have to put up with your shit for 70 years. Okay? This is 2023.
Court. Yeah. Also, Corton is the name of a new cast member on next season of Southern Charm. Let's be honest. Please welcome Corton. So, meanwhile, the guys have arrived at Shep's family home, and JT's like, wow, this is amazing. Look at these tall ceilings. They're normal height. Sorry. And there's like lots of...
What are those, vaulted?
No. It's a crawl space. So...
So this is a really long time of just small talk and Shep kind of pointing people towards their room and stuff. And then Shep tells a story about his family cabin and how there's golfing and fishing and all the stuff that makes me happy. I even occasionally emotionally abuse the animals that surround the property. There's just nothing happy like this place.
And they're just like they're all getting situated. And this struck me as funny. At one point, Craig walks through this gorgeous house, like this gorgeous cabin. We all know what it smells like in there. It's sort of smoky and just like fall and just wealthy. And Craig goes, I love this place. Like, I really do love this place. Like, oh, for a moment, I wasn't sure you would love this opulent, beautiful house that you could never afford. Really? What a shock,
but he still Craig. Does kind of diss it later because he gets his room and he goes, wow, what a lovely view of the driveway. So then later, Rod and JT have privacy in their room. JT brings him a white claw. And Rod's like, you know what? It's time to talk some shit. Shut the door. Austin is proving he deserves no benefit of the doubt here. I'm pretty sure something happened with Olivia. That girl that you're not dating? Listen, you can buy some gluten bread, some gluten-free bread for somebody, but you are not dating that person, sir.
Sorry, you're not dating. Like, listen... I actually, you know, I like Rod and Olivia together, but the moment he said he doesn't eat salads, you're just not going to have a future with a skinny white girl. Like, if you say you don't like salads to a skinny white girl, it's like, you might as well just say, I want to run you over
with
my car.
We're never going to Sweet Greens, okay?
She's like... It's honestly, that is what... She's like, well, I want to go on a date to Sweet Greens, but...
We're just a general grocery shopping, you know? Like, totally different aisles. You really need to date somebody that you like walking down the same aisles of the grocery store.
I know. So then, meanwhile, downstairs, while he's talking about this, while Rod is saying that there's an issue, something happened. One thing that's going on is that they're going to be making, in honor of Valentine's Day, burger patties in the shape of hearts. So Rodrigo and Shep are making it. And Rodrigo's taken all the meat, all the ground meat, and he's made like one giant heart. I think as like a joke or something. And of course, Austin goes, you need to make that into 6 different patties. Rodrigo just goes, no shit. Like, you fucking idiot. You think we're going to make one giant burger that we're going to cut up?
So then we go to Austin and Craig having some private time. Okay, so now we've got JT and what's-his-face, Rod, talking, and then we've got Craig and Austin talking, 2 different parts of the house. Mm-hmm. And so Austin's like, oh, I had a date with Olivia, and that was really nice. That was really good. We watched Ace Ventura 6 times, so that was great. And Craig's like, wait, was it just you two? See, that's inappropriate, because that was your ex, and you, like, can't hang out with your ex and expect things to go right.
Craig. This is Sparta. Come on, Craig. 300.
And I know that Rod thinks that something happened with me and Olivia. I can just tell. And so we cut back to Rod, and Rod's like, yeah, so I went out with a girlfriend of mine, a good girlfriend of mine, and Austin's been flirty with her for over the last few months and stuff, and she tells me this, this is like super random, but like Austin lives around the corner, so she went over there, and then the next day she saw a bra on the ottoman. So it's like, wow, this town is so gossipy. So you had a friend who hooked up with Austin and then tattletaled about him possibly hooking up with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
I love this town.
And we already know that Austin is guilty because he's trying to get ahead of the story because, like, the whole thing where he pulls Craig aside to be like, I think that Rod thinks something's going on. Like, that is the telltale sign of someone trying to already, like, do some damage control already. So JT's like, he's like, what? Did the girl say whose bra it was? I hope it wasn't my sweet angel, Taylor.
And did it have hearts on the straps? That might have been mommy's. Just please tell me it's not mommy's. Please.
Rod's like, yeah, well, he had Olivia over, so assuming...
It and JT's hurts. Like,
so then Craig,
he turns his head and does a big sigh. So mad.
Not a bra on the ottoman. So then Craig says, he's like, so you and Olivia had a hangout? And I was like, yeah. Well, we quite literally met in the morning for like a hangout. And then like we went to lunch. And then she was like, I just want to watch a movie at your house. Like quite literally. And like, because like that's what we used to do. We like sit and watch a movie. And then like we used to do it so often. And like, so she was like going to be on one side of the couch. I was going to be on another. And like, I was like, fine, it totally works. So we watched 3/4 of her favorite rom-com, like an Ashton Kutcher movie. Like my fucking guy, Ashton Kutcher. Love the people he stands for. Love the people he writes testimonies for. Great guy. Great character witness. Love this guy. What was I talking about?
Okay, but he also tells on himself the whole time. Like, he wants to be caught in his lies, which is so funny. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, so we just watched the movie. We got 3/4 of the way through it. Oh, really? Well, what happened in the last quarter, Austin? You know?
Exactly. Why did you stop watching it?
So he's like, wait a minute. Is this friend with benefits? And he goes, and then guess who left her bra on, like, my little whatever that thing is that goes in your eye, the little poof thing. And Craig's like, a panda bear. No, Craig. Olivia. Yes, Craig. In a panda suit. Is it Olivia in a panda suit?
Olivia's not real. So then Austin's like, yes. But the thing is this, Austin just says it like, oh yeah. You know how like, oh, I left my phone charger at your place. So, yeah, she just left her bra on my poof. I'm like, but
yeah, we all know how it goes.
What? That she just left her bra off. I am a gay man, okay? I have many female friends, and literally none of them have ever just taken off their bra and just left it somewhere in my house, just because.
I mean...
Okay? So let alone like a horny, straight guy's house like Austin's, and it's just like, oh yeah, just watching a movie, took off my bra and
left it there. I will say, as a person with nieces and a sister who are over here all the time, I have found bras... in the couch where I'm like, what is your bra doing here? And they're like, I just took my bra off. We were watching, like, I have heard of that. Like, we're just watching a movie and they just get comfortable, you know? But it's Olivia being at Austin's house. So there's like a history that I don't know. I mean,
I don't think Olivia's taking off her bra in front of Austin when they have this like weird situation of like maybe, maybe not, you know, like I just don't see it. I don't see her doing that. I could see her thinking this is going to lead him on or something like that. I don't want to deal with Austin thinking something and going and telling people, you know, like, so I think something happened for sure.
Okay. So, JT.
And it was wet.
Whatever it was, there was very misguided tongues, because they both have the same, and here's why I believe that they belong together. I've said this before in these recaps. I believe they belong together because they have similar mouth issues. They both eat the same way. They both smack while they eat and don't close their mouths. So I think that they're going to get married. Just calling it.
Yeah. It could happen. A real tongue relationship. So basically JT's like, this is not okay behavior. This has got to stop. I need to see poppy seed. I'm sorry, I was talking about my mom not FaceTiming me yet today. What were we talking about, Rod? And Rod's like, I'm just so frustrated in so many ways, bro. Like, I went to Austin like a gentleman and I told him like a man I was interested in a man. I mean, I am a man and I'm interested and I want to pursue her. I'm just saying man so many times. I can't stop saying man all the time. I'm a man.
That's what real men do, is tell their friend that they want to date their ex. So I can't believe that he's trying to date his ex when I told him I wanted to date his ex. So,
which reminds me, I need to see the latest X-Man, man.
I watch that, man. 3/4 man. Of it. And then I thought, well, nothing. I didn't do anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's not. Don't even know a movie quote from it.
Quite literally. I don't even know. He could have ended it.
So
been at the end of it.
Rod's like, listen, I don't have, you know, I don't have to ask permission from Austin, but I did it, you know, like, and now I'm watching
men do.
I'm a man, man to man, man to man, and man to tongue. And now I'm watching Austin fuck with her feelings.
So then Craig, back to Craig and Austin, Craig's like, did you hook up? And Austin literally starts pulling at his ears. He's like, look, what are you, Carol Burnett? What are you fucking pulling your ears? You are the most obvious person.
Do you get that curtain rod out of your blazer?
Like, no, no, Craig. So, the lies. So Craig's like, I think he's crossing a line, but you know, that's Austin. He's an idiot.
He's like, if we would have hooked up, Craig, I would have told you, just like I told you about Taylor. Oh, I guess I did not tell you about Taylor, but theoretically, if I were pressed several months later, I would have sworn Olivia to secrecy, and then I would have come out with it and made her look bad. That's how I would have done it, Craig. Like, obviously, quite literally.
I'm growing. So then JT and Rod get all worked up, and Rod's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait until he looks at me in the slightest wrong, and then I'm going to go at him. It's like, okay. So the guys start gathering again downstairs, and Shep is just like, what's a strainer? I hate how this dumb bitch sets things up. I'm going to call her right now. Listen here, slut whore. Figure out where to put the strainers, idiot. Shep, stop talking to your mom that way.
So then, Craig's like making the burgers. Yeah, Shep rummaging through the drawers. And then this is where Shep finds the Velveeta and is like squeezing it into like some shells. It's like, oh gosh, I'm in my happy place. Velveeta shells and cheese. Throw them at Craig, but first throw them at JT. Oh, JT, guess where you're sleeping tonight? In a shell, because that's where you fit, a little pasta shell. Oh, the taunting, it takes so many forms.
So yeah, that's kind of gross. And then, JT is, they're making like jokes about the burgers and stuff like that. And so they're like, I thought these were going to be hearts. And Chip's like, no, we broke the hearts. And JT's like, yeah, well, I'm shocked you broke hearts together. And Austin goes, well, someone's got to do it, little guy. And JT goes, well, you are a pro at breaking hearts. And Austin just does this like,
and JT's like, I'm getting really upset because I can't keep watching Austin get away with murder. He's betrayed Shep. He's betrayed Rod. And now he thinks he can just walk on water. Like, well, I guess technically because he's spitting everywhere. So he is kind of like walking on water. But he thinks he can walk on water and it's nice. And he can't because we see everything. And we hear, well, I got to get on a box. And then I see everything. And we hear everything. And he's hurting people.
Yeah. So they kind of make small talk, but also like trade little barbs here and there. And they're trying, you know. It's like their first like big try at a group fight. So then it's time. Yeah. The music changes like three times because nothing is going on in this. You wouldn't know it. It's an hour and 11 minutes into this recap. But they're trying to make it happen by changing the music a lot. It's like, while they're just lighting candles and stuff. So then,
but they finally find a way into the fight by talking about sriracha sauce, which is really impressive because one of them puts sriracha sauce into their burger, and then Austin's like, apparently that town is in fucking ruins, and Rod's like, yeah, because the sriracha, all the chilies get into the air, and then JT's like, they kind of created a toxic situation, kind of like our town with you motherfuckers, sriracha motherfucker fools.
So then Austin is mad because he knows that they're talking about him, but he's also doing the eating while he's pushing food out of his mouth against his teeth with his tongue, and it's extremely difficult to watch, okay? It's hard for me to even know what happened in the rest of this episode because I'm furious.
Yeah, so by the way, this is sucky of JT because Rod had said how he's going to handle Austin, but then JT forces the issue, and now, you know, that's like it's not cool. You're like being a bad sidekick right now. So Austin's like, he's like, why is JT always adding his own 2 cents? It's like a mosquito in my ear.
And so then they try to JT's ignore like, him. Austin's like, okay, well, I can make breakfast tomorrow. Unless, hold on, let me just digest this egg with my teeth and my tongue. Okay, unless someone else wants to, but me and Craig usually do it. And JT's like, well, I'm actually quite the chef, and tonight I'm the sous chef because I'm going to pass the stirring of this pot to my good friend, the other new person on this cast. Rod, you're up. Go, hit it, Pearl!
I guess I guess my sriracha thing wasn't good enough to start the fight, so let me do some chef metaphor with the stirring the pot. Rod, go
I mean,
for it.
Dude, so like, have some chill. This is like, it's like signing someone else for karaoke. You can't do that.
I know. So Rod's like, wow, I was going to enjoy my mac and cheese and sriracha and no salad. Stupid salad. But anyway, I told JT some things I want to talk about tonight, and that's what he's talking about. So let's talk about it. So then I was like, okay. He's like, I'm going to be blunt. Emily Blunt. God, she's a great actress. Do you have any quotes from her, Austin?
No, but
what are you talking about, Rod?
Me and Olivia have watched about 3/4 of her films before we've talked about stuff. So, what do you want to talk about?
All right. Well, I heard that Olivia and you hung out on Thursday, and you know,
and
I was
she came
out
over.
With a girlfriend
so what's your point? What's your point? She came over. So, what?
Well, she told me there was a bra. Told me there was a bra on the ottoman. She called that the girl that is not.
And Austin just covers his face. And he's like, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" And she goes, "Whose bra? Was it Taylor's? Did anyone get a picture? You better send it to me first."
It was mine, everyone. It was my bra. Not afraid to shake a tail feather here and there with the young men on this cast.
Patricia just pops out of nowhere. So Craig's like, yeah, Olivia got comfy and took her bra off, so what's the big deal? And JT goes, get comfy? You take your shoes off to get comfortable. You take your bra off when you're in love with your mother and it's summertime and she's only got a moo-moo and the air conditioner is just a window unit and you're just a boy.
Wait, he goes, nothing happened. That was a terrible image, JT.
Sorry. Nothing happened. Sorry, to be fair, I did stop myself in that one because I really felt like it was going to a terrible place.
Sometimes your mama's in a moo-moo and she's overheated and the wafts of chili peppers from the sriracha factory nearby are making her sneeze, so she gotta take off a bra.
Listen, sometimes Oedipal references go a little too far, okay? What can I say? I make Oedipal references like I pick couches. Poorly.
So Austin is like, guys, nothing happened. I mean, we cuddled a little bit and she gave me a big old hug and she kissed me on the chest and then she fucking left. I was like, you cuddled a little
bit?
See,
but that's Austin too. There is Austin. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing happened. She was, when she said goodbye, she hugged me and then she just kissed me on the chest innocently and left. Like, what? You cuddled and she kissed you on the chest. Like, he's just leading. It's not that no one can do that. It's mm-hmm. just that he's leading on purpose. This guy's such an ass.
Yeah. Cuddling with your ex, cackling hags, like that's like something happened. So Craig is like, I think that you guys should go talk in private because honestly, I'm trying to get through to 1-800-Flowers and you're really distracting me. So they go off and then JT's sitting there in his chair and he's all upset. He's like, I've had enough, dude. I've had enough of him getting away with murder in this friend group, okay? It's ridiculous. Craig's like, but Olivia's just as guilty as Austin because women aren't helpless sex creatures. They're the bane of our society. Haven't you watched our show? That's what it's about.
And JT's like, you don't stand him up and hold him accountable, Craig. You don't hold him accountable. And Shep's like, you know what? You're causing a disturbance in the force here, okay? And Shep tells us, he can't see Austin won't be held accountable ever. That's Austin. It's never going to happen.
That's a great way to hold someone accountable by saying, well, he'll never hold himself accountable, so why
bother?
Well,
that's how they all work with each other, you know? They're just like, hey, yeah. You don't, their deal well, is like, you don't hold me accountable, I don't hold you accountable. That's why when they do hold each other accountable, it's the most offensive thing ever. It's like, how dare you? Like last season when they were trying to be like, Shep, you're constantly flirting with people at bars when you've got Taylor waiting at home, like knowing very well he fucking cheats on Taylor all the time. And he's like, how dare you say that on camera? When you're cheating on everybody all the time too, you know, it's like their deal.
Exactly. Well, it's also like a few weeks ago when Olivia's like, this I expected from Austin but not from Taylor, and it's like, because it's like, oh, well, it's Austin. Don't need to hold him accountable. Like,
well, I think in that case, she just already knew he's a piece of shit because she broke up with him already. Or yeah. Like he treated her like shit. But Taylor...
But he still should be held accountable.
Well, he still should be held accountable. But he went through the whole thing, the whole process where she's already told him, I hate you, done all that stuff, been mean to him on camera, and done all that to where he's, you know, groveled his way back around. You know, Taylor has to still go through that whole process.
So Austin and Rod go outside. And Austin goes, I was severely hoping that you and I were going to be able to talk. Guys,
severely
hoping it.
Just wanted to get a three-syllable in there. Like, okay, make me sound smart.
Severely. That's I think, the best use of the word severely. You know, I want to talk with you. How much? I severely want to talk with you.
The last person to use that was Taylor's knitting teacher. Taylor, do you need to do that so severely? She's like, what? It's supposed to be sunshine.
Listen, it's clobbering time. Sorry, there's a quote from the Fantastic Four, 2005. So let's severely talk. So Rod goes, well, you know, the last couple of days I let my imagination go. And I was like, you know, like, in what world did they not make out? Like, am I going to have to start eating salad soon? And Austin's like, I have nothing to hide. Nothing to hide whatsoever. And sure, you know, us cuddling and making out and having sex brought back some feelings. But I can answer you. And nothing happened.
And then he goes, I can't say why she did it. I can't say why she took off her bra, I guess is what he's saying. So then Rod's like, it's Rod tells us, I just want him to realize that he's hurting people and he needs to come clean, because not coming clean, that's not what a gentleman does. And I'm a man.
Clean is not a word often to use with these men.
Have you seen a meat? So Rod's like, I mean, it's not her life, but it's just not easy for me to see her get with her ex. And so Austin's like, I mean, look, I'm not trying to get her back, but of course, you know, I know that if I do get her back, I'm only going to hurt her again. So please take her.
How do you think I feel? How do you think I feel? Watching a girl I kind of dated, we shared some cheesy tots last season and then didn't date. And then we got like upset about a relationship we never had. How do you think it makes me feel to see her with you after all that, after cheesy tots?
How do you think I feel Rod's like, after I blew off a girl, watching her pretend to be somebody interested in somebody because they got her something gluten-free, and then having to get her to like me again so I can blow her off again? Do you know how difficult that is for me?
Rod's like, look, I've heard the story and I haven't believed it, but just tell me the truth. Did you make out?
Hold on.
We absolutely, totally made out.
Nope.
Like bandits with a great deal from DoorDash that night. That's all.
While we were fucking or...
I don't kiss while I fuck. So no, we did not make out.
So he's like, no, not what happened. And so if you want to be head over heels for someone that ... I'm not going to stop you. It's like, what was the ... What does that mean? If you want to fall for somebody that totally didn't make out with, shrug, behind your back, while she's pretending to like you.
So Rod goes, I hear it. And I hear your subtone too. Did he say subtone? Is that what he said?
I think he meant like, I get your subtext. What do you mean by that? Because like, Austin's being obvious. Because he goes, no, that's not what happened. And if you want to be head over heels for someone that, I'm not going to stop you. He stops. So he's like, okay. Yeah. So like, I see what you're saying. You know, like if you want to be with somebody that's obviously already been with me and that still has feelings for me, have fun. But that's your choice. You fuck. Mm-hmm.
So Craig's like, inside, Craig's like, Rod's not Olivia's boyfriend and Rod has no claim over Olivia. And JT's like, but did you know that he hooked up with Olivia? He didn't hook up with Olivia. They just had sex and she left his bra at his house afterwards because they were naked together. It's not a hookup.
And then Austin, back with Austin, he's like, and you know what? I'm not happy with me, which is why I'm pursuing therapy on .net. And... what's your plan here, Rod? What's your plan? And Rod's like, well, I'm a mature adult, so I'm going to talk to her about it, and I'm going to listen to what she says, and I'm going to drive to 3 stores and get her 3 different kinds of gluten-free buns, and then I'm going to see where she wants to go from there. And then Austin's like, He's like sipping in the most suspicious way. He's so shady.
Yes.
Austin.
So the question is, will Rod and Olivia's barely simmering relationship be able to survive Olivia's barely simmering relationship that she used to have with Austin?
The thing I'm most interested on this show to see, because I think Olivia's pretty much here to stay, right? I mean, it seems like Olivia's like the new lead cast. I think I would really love to see Olivia genuinely fall for somebody on this show that it's not forced just to be on this show. Because her first season, it's like, I just moved to Charleston just because I totally want to be here from LA, which is not true. And then she had that whole fake thing with Austin. Now she's has no chemistry with this guy, Rod. I'm sorry. There's just nothing there. So I want to see somebody that she's like really into. I want that for you. I hope that for you. Next time on Southern Charm, hopefully Olivia will find somebody to light a fire under that. Light a fire under that girl. So let's see. Let's see what happens.
We will see. Well, we got the mid-season trailer after that. So I don't know if there's an episode next week, because I feel like the tradition lately on Bravo is that after the mid-season trailer, there's a week off. We're going to look into that. So either we'll have more Southern Charm next week, or no Southern Charm next week. But either way, we have Beverly Hills is coming up next. And Ronnie is off to BravoCon, where he will be avoiding all of Austin's spittle. And, you know, I can't wait to hear all the stories that you're going to come back with. It's going to be so much fun. Say hi to all of our podcaster friends, all the people we know. You're just going to have the best time
it's
ever.
It's not too late, Ben. And guess what? Next week is a new Southern Charm. It's a new episode. Just looked it up.
So there we go.
So we will be back with
it. It is too late. It is too late for me to go. I'm not going. I have other plans. I have other obligations. I cannot do it. I cannot come.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.